This is an interview with Mrs. Bessie E. McIntosh Frye, retired teacher of the city of Bridgeport. As a part of the Black History Project of the Afro-American Educators Association entitled A Study of Bridgeport Neighborhoods, A Black Perspective, 1900 to Present. I am Frances Judson, the interviewer. We are at 7011 Evelyn Street in Stratford at the home of Bessie and Benny Fry. The date is October 23rd, 1983. All right, Mrs. Fry, would you tell us about your early childhood and about your coming to Bridgeport?
Yes, I'll do that. You want to know when I came to this area, in other words, Bridgeport?
Yes.
Because that's where most of the activity was.
Yeah, well, when did you come to Stratford? You lived
in Stratford. We came to, now, my family, some of my family, was here, they were here ahead of us. So. We came here, or I came here with my mother and my sisters and brothers in 1919. However, we had contact through my relatives who were living here from the very beginning. I think they came around 1900.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, they came here about 1900.
Very good. So your roots in this area go back quite a few years,
then. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. There were only, now even when we came here, there were only 12 black families in all of this area out here. And in Bridgeport there were, oh, I couldn't say the number, but I knew most of the families, which weren't much more, I guess, than about, I should say about 20, something like that. Somebody in Bridgeport could tell you more about that.
Mm-hmm. When you came here, your first place of living was in Stratford.
Was in Stratford.
Uh-huh. Where did you live here?
1574 Stratford Avenue.
Oh, not too far away.
Mm-mm. Right down on the avenue.
Uh-huh. What did the neighborhood look like then?
Then?
Uh-huh.
Well, let's see. It just was a one-way trolley car track and enough room for the mostly they were horses and buggies mostly, and this old-fashioned trolley track that was all that was there along that highway. I'm trying to think of anything outstanding. No, there were maybe one store feet just about two blocks this side of the town fair.
So that was the neighborhood store, so to speak.
That was the neighborhood store when we came here.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I remember his name, John Bagdasarian. Right on the corner of what's that street? What's the name of that street run right down there, Ben?
Huh?
What's the street that run right from Stratford Avenue by Mary's store there? Run down.
I know where that is.
Huh?
That's okay.
So anyway, that's where it was. But of course, these streets weren't all lined up by names and all.
So did you start school here in Bridgeport?
No, I walked Country Road down south.
What grade were you in when you came here?
Oh boy. Oh, we came here.
You were in elementary school?
Very much so. Let's see. I don't know what we didn't have a kindergarten down there, you know, in the south where I went to school. I don't know, I guess you'd say the first grade, because we had what you call a primer. And that was the only book we had, a primer. And I came here, and I don't think I started in kindergarten because I was too far advanced.
Yes.
It had to be. They must have put me in, I'm not positive, but they probably put me in a second or third grade.
Yes. So you started here in second or third grade, and you finished school here in...
I finished high school here.
At,
and of course, I went south to go to college.
Uh-huh. What school did you finish?
I spent 1 year at Winston-Salem Teachers College.
No, I mean, what's
high school? Oh, Stratford Center. I went to Honey Spot School first. And they transferred us to Stratford Center School.
Uh-huh. And did you go to Stratford, was Stratford High here?
Then? Yes, I finished from Stratford High School. Mm-hmm. And now you mentioned that, let me see if I can show you something, because I had forgotten all about it until last.
Are the schools that you attended in Stratford still there?
High Spot School has been rebuilt, but that's where I first started. Mm-hmm. And Stratford Center School is still there too. Honey Spot School, no, they changed that to what's Web Ben? Huh? Honey Spot.
Oh. That's okay. That's okay. Were there many blacks in school with you?
I'll tell you who was in there. They belonged to the black race, but they didn't look black.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. One family.
Yeah, black. One family of blacks. Then you? Mm-hmm. Okay, what was the teacher-student relationship like?
Well, as far as I can remember, I had a very good relationship with them. Mm-hmm. I did. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever had any difficulty with any teacher, either in High Spot nor high school. I went to Stratford Center also after transferring from High Spot. Went to Stratford Center School up there by the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had any difficulty with the teachers.
What about other students?
Well, I really didn't have too much with the students. I had one run-in with a student that I can recall, one white student. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason for my not having difficulty is because my aunt and uncle had settled here for so many years, and he was in business, and he knew all of the businessmen in Stratford, and he worked for them in a way because he had his own business. Instead of having rubbish collections the way we do now, they were individuals. I think he was the only one in Stratford when I came that was collecting rubbish and garbage of his own, mm-hmm. on his own.
So it
and
was
in that way, he knew all of the businessmen because he collected theirs every week as he did the, you know, individual homes.
Mm-hmm.
So being, I guess, his niece, he felt that people accepted me. Mm-hmm. Because I can't remember at any time that I had any trouble with a teacher in grammar school or high school.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any kind of interaction with children from the Bridgeport area?
During those days?
Mm-hmm.
No. Not that I know of.
Okay. What kind of social activities did you have when you weren't in school?
Yeah, you mean other than the time that I was spending in school, all of this
mm-hmm. what you have to do?
Activities? I played basketball with the YWCA team in Bridgeport. I played soccer ball with, that was in high school. And basketball in high school, too.
Mm-hmm.
And what other activities did we? Well, you mean during the school time?
School. Yes.
I sang with the choir at high school. Mm-hmm. And I, being the only black one there, I guess I didn't have any problem. And I was in the annual senior play, the Mikado.
Mm-hmm.
I sang with the choir.
Mm-hmm. Did you have many personal friends?
Well, they all were my friends.
Mm-hmm.
But some were closer than others.
Yes.
But all of them were But to be honest about it, all of them were my friends. Mm-hmm. Because I can remember when they had the class reception. What were they called?
Reunion?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting ready to tell you. I wasn't going. I told my aunt and uncle I wasn't going. There wasn't any other black people in there, no other dark children. I told them I wasn't going, but one of my white girls in school, father, was a friend of my uncle's, and you know, really there wasn't too much prejudice around here at that time because they knew the few couples that people that were here, and they worked somewhat together. So they didn't have these big halls and big proms at that time, but this man, his name was Mr. Porter, and if I had my book, I could remember all of their names, his daughter and all, but I don't have it right now. And so when they got ready, he said, well, they can come to my house after graduation and have their party. And I told my uncle I wasn't going up there to his house for the party, and I really hadn't planned to go and did not want to go. But he came on down to my uncle's house, and he said, now, we want Bessie to come to that party. I'm not going, because I had never been to a party with a group of white people, see. Mm-hmm. So he just told my uncle, he said, well, Thomas, you just get her ready, and I'm coming to pick her up. That was living on Stratford Avenue. And I told my Thomas, I didn't want to go. I said, my goodness, what am I going to do? They all be dancing, I'm going to sit up in the corner. He said, he's going to be here. Mr. Porter's going to be here. So I got ready, and he came, picked me up, took me to the dance. The boys all danced with me, and I came, and then they brought me back home.
Did black kids have any dances and all for themselves?
No, they didn't have any. In those days, we didn't have anything of our own. For the simple reason, we didn't have any place to have them unless we did have them in our home. Mm-hmm. And then our homes, my uncle had a fairly big home. He had a big house. He had an 8-room house with porches in the front and the back, and
attic. Your father's home?
No, my uncle. My aunt's husband. No, my father didn't come up here until after. He stayed down there how long? My father didn't come up here until we were all big enough to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. What kind of chores did you have to do?
At home, yeah. When I was in school?
Chores there and anywhere, in school and home.
Well, I wasn't compelled to do too much. Just like my uncle, unfortunately, he was able to have someone come in and do my aunt's heaviest work, like the laundry and all. And so I never had to do any of that. And I guess I had to wash the dishes and so forth. And I guess as I grew up, I assumed more responsibility of helping on weekends to get things, you know, cleared up for Sunday and so forth. But really, no hard work, nothing like going outside and having to do anything. And as I said, he had this lady come all the time and do his do my aunt's laundry. And I'm sure, yes, yeah, she did most of the mopping the floors and all, because I didn't. Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is why you could spend time with basketball teams and soccer teams.
Well, yes. And I even played with the YWCA team in Bridgeport.
What about your celebration of holidays? How did you do?
Well, we used to go places like Seaside Park, Pleasure Beach, and Savin Rock. And to us, that was a big deal.
Yes.
And so we would go like Sundays. And those days, they didn't think you should go any place but the church. But we used to walk from Stratford all the way down Stratford Avenue. They used to have the nicest little ice cream parlors. And we'd go walk, take Sunday walks and go down to the park and walk back and to have ice cream or something like that. That was all the activity we had, unless there was a group of people going up to Saturn Rock and we rode the open trolley, as you know then. They call them trolley cars. We'd ride up there and stay and play with the things they had up there and so forth.
Yeah, the amusement parks?
Yes, it was the amusement park. It was beautiful. That's where they have, what do we have up there now? I guess they changed the name, I don't know, but not like it used to be. It's not a, they had all kind of, you see this big thing down here in at Town Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had all kind of structures like that, and slides down yourself and all that for children and grown-ups too. Mm-hmm. And they had some kind of games they used to go and play. Like rolling a ball, and if you hit a certain number or something, a color, you'd win something.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was good.
Good. What the church did not have any activities other than the regular service for.
Yes, we used to have not too many, not like they do today. We had. I'm trying to think that we have many activities. The biggest activity we would have would be an annual dinner, or maybe, let's say, maybe more than, wouldn't have more than about 3 or 4 dinners a year. Now, maybe more. And that would be on Thursdays when the people who worked in service, like the maids and all,
mm-hmm.
well, that would be their day off. Thursday afternoons, but then it didn't mean much to them because they all got together and came to church, prepared dinners, and all of the people they worked for would end up there at night to buy their dinners because maids were out. That's what they did. That's right. Every Thursday they had dinner at church, and the people who were off on those days, they would be the ones to come there and prepare the dinners. Mostly they were missionaries or one of the, you know, we didn't have many club groups. We didn't have any club groups, only the missionary circle, the quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the way they spent their Thursdays, often the way we raised money to help keep the church going.
Mm-hmm.
But we had good church, good services.
Did the Sunday school have any programs or things like the dinner?
Oh yes, they had, they would always have their Christmas parties, and there were programs, and then afterwards, you know, they would have, they'd go downstairs and, you know, they'd give out little things to, something for Christmas, and they'd have little refreshments to serve, and on, but at Easter time, they'd have their program, and they would have Easter egg hunt, because we didn't have all that, a lot of the parking lot or anything then.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd have a Sunday school picnic, and we'd go to either Savin Rock or Laurel Beach out in Milford. I don't know what other Easter things they have. Nah. They didn't have too many other,
mm-hmm.
not, we didn't have any formulated these clubs that we had either. Our club, I think, is the oldest club in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The Lawyer Workers Club. The Missionary Circle, of course, that's different, but it operated just like a regular service did.
What about, how did you celebrate your holiday, Christmas, let's say, at home?
Well, Christmas we always had at home. Well, we always have a tree, but we didn't have electric lights and all like that on it. They used to sell the red, green, they'd make them in like little ribbons. And we'd use those and go out and get the pine cones and we'd decorate with those. We have too many big gifts. But just things, I guess, we absolutely needed. And then That was Christmas for us. I never knew what a doll was. I never had a doll in my life. Except sometimes my aunt and my mother used to take the socks and, you know, they would stuff the toes and then they'd tie that up to make the head and put buttons on for the eyes, the nose, and the mouth.
So they'd make you a doll?
Oh, that's the only way I ever had a doll, made out of socks.
Oh,
that's cute. I'll be 75 in November.
Will you?
75. So 75 years ago, we didn't know what the, we didn't know anything about all these new things these children have. And my niece next door, she's 9 years old. I bet she's got enough to fill this whole entire room in there. And every year they empty it out, and then the next year they have another truckload to go. Mm-hmm. That's the way they have. But we didn't have that.
So back in during this time, you attended First Baptist that was right here in Stratford.
Yes, it was First Baptist.
Did everybody in your family belong to that church?
Everybody in my family belonged to First Baptist.
Okay.
We grew up right there.
Uh-huh. Were there many Bridgeporters that came from Bridgeport to that church?
Yes, they were. The majority of it. Black people who lived in Bridgeport came to First Baptist Church in Stratford on Sunday evenings. You couldn't hardly, if you didn't get there by 7, you didn't get in. That's right. I mean, they really have. See, well, most of them had just migrated from the South. Mm-hmm. And they enjoyed their old-fashioned hymns and their old-fashioned ways of testifying and so forth. And we enjoyed it. We always looked forward to it. Because we had, the young people had BYPU at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And then around 7:30, people would be coming in for church. And the church was always packed in front of the door. But they just dwelled on, I mean, they have all these different people coming and singing and this activity, breaking into it. We had the BYPU. And then we had the evening service. And we had food service, and everybody was glad to get there. Sometimes they would be standing room there.
Do you remember the minister?
Yes. When I came, I remember all the ministers at the Third First Baptist Church.
Oh, very good.
Okay. Beginning in 19, let's see, from the ones that came there in 1808, there weren't many.
Mm-hmm.
There were only 12 black families in all of Stratford.
Mm-hmm.
And well, they came, let's see. Well, I'm working on a history now. You see those folder bags back there? Oh, I got so much stuff in this. I forgot
the history of Stratford Baptist.
Yeah.
First Baptist.
From 1877 up until now.
Oh.
And I wrote the first history of the church with the four men who gave the money, you know, gave the land, they gave the money, and they built the church themselves. My uncle and my aunt. There were four men who did that, and he was one. He was one of the founders of that church.
Oh, it's First Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee.
That's right.
Mm. All right, we're going to go to where were you during World War One? Here?
In Virginia. That's where my oldest brother died. He went, he came back home in a casket.
Your oldest brother was in in World War One?
He was the oldest one at that time. I think we lost one brother. But he was the oldest one of the family of boys at that time. He went to it. And he died in the third, so that was in 1918, and we came to Bridgeport in 1919.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's right, because when they brought his body home, we didn't ever get the word, because telegram was out of question, and telephones were made.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know anything about it until this man came to the door and told my father that Willie's corpse was at the railroad station in Cruz, Virginia. My mother was had gone to work.
That was how you found out about it?
We knew nothing about it until then. Although his wife had sent a telegram, they lived in New York, and she had sent a telegram, but we had no phones, and they didn't deliver the telegram. So when we knew it, my mother was at work, my father was out there somewhere in the gardens or whatnot, when they drove up with the wagon, and when the man came to tell us, and that's when my father asked this man to go and bring the body home, the casket home. So that was it. He went and got my mother.
I can imagine that that's one of the things about that period. Is there anything else that sort of stands out in your mind about the, you know, World War One?
Yes, indeed. I had an uncle to go.
That was in the war?
Yeah. So
World War One really had quite a traumatic effect on your family.
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had an uncle to go, and I had two first cousins to go, my father's nephew, and they were all in service at the same time with my brother.
Did you have enough food during that time?
Well, we always had plenty of food because my father had a big farm down there, and we had food all through the year. And go to town once a week just to get maybe a fresh loaf of bread, and so we thought that was something wonderful. And we always looked forward to that cheese and bread when my father go to town, mm-hmm. which was about, I think it was about 4 or 5 miles from where we lived. You know, my mother would go and we didn't have any lavish foods or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Everything was raised right there on the farm. Mm-hmm. Molasses was made right there. Mm-hmm. At night, we used to sip out there. My father and somebody was helping him make the molasses. We'd sip out, stick our fingers in it, and run, get out of the way before you get out of it.
Yeah. Did you hear from your loved ones who were in the service? Did you break the concern about them?
My brother's wife heard from me more than we did. No, they didn't
do a lot of writing.
They didn't do much writing. But the only thing, my brother came home, we knew, I didn't understand all of it then, but he knew that he was going overseas. And he came home from Camp Dixon, New Jersey, and he said to Mother, he said, Mom, I came home because I think I'll be going there pretty soon. And then he came out, I think I was 6 years old. And he came in, and he picked me up and put me on his knee. And he said to me, he asked me something. And if I knew how to spell some word, and he said, many. He said, you know how to spell many? How many teeth do you have? Or something like that. He said the word many. And I spelled it. And he said, Mom, it looks good. And I'd never been to a school or anything in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's the only one thing I remembered him. Because he said, well, he told Mom, I don't know when we'll be leaving, but we're supposed to leave. And that was the last time we saw him.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So when they brought his body home, he died before Dix. But when they brought his body home, we didn't know it. They put it in what we call, Mom and them called the, they had a bedroom downstairs that they kept for guests. And that's where they brought it, put his casket in. I got up on that casket and looked over in there and tried to talk to him. I didn't know, you know, what had happened. And that's when Mom and them were looking for me, and they came and found me standing up down in the stool looking over in the casket at it. So that's why I can remember those things so much, because they were most unusual.
Mm-hmm. How did he die in Fort Dix? I thought you said.
Well, you know, they were drilling them. That's where they got their training, uh-huh. before they sent them overseas. It was very, very hot. And he had gone to his, and told him, the sergeant, I think uh-huh. it was, that he didn't feel good. He says, I don't think I can do that today, you know, because they drilled and drilled and drilled and walked and hot sun and all. So he just told him, so you get on out of here, you've got to. And that's where he fell out, and that's where he died.
So he was going overseas, but he never got over there.
No, he didn't get over there. Because he told us that he couldn't. He says, I don't think I can drill this morning. He says, I'm too sick. But he said, you have to. And what they tell you have to do, you have to do it. That's it. So that was the end of him.